Good morning, friends. Today's teaching scripture is taken from 2 Kings chapter 22, and we're going to start with the 14th verse and go through 20. So 2 Kings 22, 14 to 20, that's on page 361 if you're using one of the Blue Shed Bibles. Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Azariah went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have also heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place." So they took her answer back to the king. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Martha Hill. If we haven't had the privilege of meeting, I am Kermit the Frog. I am Denise Kingdom, one of the pastors here, proudly and gratefully back here from another voyage to my happy place, Bochabelo, South Africa, with a few of you. I'm so glad to be back. I just felt like I still needed to represent one more day. So this is the attire that is appropriate in the place in South Africa where I get to hang out. So today we continue in our series. And no, I didn't get a cold from Troy. We just happened to have it at the same time. I'm not contagious. It's just the coughing that continues to weigh on the voice. So hopefully it's not too irritating for you. I ask the Holy Spirit to be a filter on your ear if it is. We continue in our series today, Listen to Her, and it has just been an eclectic and beautiful journey to continue to hear the voices and the stories of women, some very familiar to us, some not familiar to us at all. I'm sure not many of us have heard of Huldah and her story before, so it's my privilege to expound upon that a bit here today. I'm wondering, in this age of artificial intelligence and Google and Instagram and Twitter, X, Facebook, all of these sources of information, I wonder if you can think of where do you go? Who are the living, breathing beings, whether still alive now or once alive, that you go to as resources to answer some of the questions that you might have in your life, like, where do you go? Who do you go to when you want to understand something about love? Think about it. Who are the authors? Who are the people in your families? Who are the folks and the gurus in our communities that we go to? For me, this is a source all about love is a book by a person named Bell Hooks, just passed away a few years ago. I love, about every 3 or 4 years, I go back to this book in order to get some texture and some rooted language around what it means to love, because we talk about love a lot, right? I love you, you love me, we love one another. God says, love the Lord your God. And then I'm not sure if we have real categories or definitions. I'm not sure if we're talking about the same thing when we're talking about that. And so this particular book is one of my go-tos. I happen to listen to her, Bell Hooks, and she helps me to ground myself and to bring some definition to this thing called love. What about future plans? When you start to think, well, maybe next year, maybe in 5 years, maybe when I retire, maybe later. Well, I think I might do this or that. Who are the people you go to for that? Do you just make those plans on your own and just hope that they work out? Or the people in your life that you actually get to go to and you get to work through some of these things with? Now, for me, when I think about future plans, I tend to talk those things through with this lady. This is my therapist. Y'all pray for her. She got a rough job. I'm telling you, I know it's rough. But Abby has just been a soldier. And so when I think about future plans and what's next and what God might be inviting me into or how I might be able to utilize my gifts, I meet with Abby on Monday mornings, and Abby helps me to think about and to think through and to pray about and to journal about and to confess about, to live into something that can be faithful for the future, so I'm not just kind of trying to work some of those things out on my own. Who do you go to? Where do we go if we have questions about God? Questions about faith, about the word of the Lord. Where do we go? Who do we turn to? Sometimes we don't want to even admit that we have certain questions. Where's the safe places? Where's the places where we know that we're going to get the truth, whether we want to hear it or not? And that's a big question mark, right? I think the easy answer is, oh, go to God in prayer. Amen, do that. Recommend 100%. Some might say, oh, well, you know what? You need to go to church. Do that too. Amen. I recommend that also. But even in the midst of those two things, sometimes the directness of the question of the hour doesn't quite get raised or doesn't quite get addressed. And I'm wishing that there was a prophet in the town. Do you ever wish that we lived in the times of the kings when prophets walked on the earth and made themselves available to respond to the questions of the kings and the commoners? Sure, it would be nice. Today in our text, we meet King Josiah, the last great king of Judah. He came to the throne at 8 years old, so I like to call him Little Josiah. Here we are 18 years later, so that make him, what, 26 maybe if my math is good, but I'm going to try to be theologian and less a mathematician, so you talk amongst yourselves. He came to the throne after a line of kings that had forsaken the way that God had instructed for them to live and to govern. And the people had begun to turn their hearts away from God and to incorporate the Canaanite, the pagan, if you will, practices of those around them in the face of God, although God had been clear about God's instructions for them. And so when Josiah comes to the throne, his immediate concern is to tear down all of the idols, is to tear down all of the high places and all the indications that there's any God but our God. And in his work and in his contemplation and execution, somebody went to the temple and found a lost scroll and brought it to the king and rolled it out before Josiah and began to read it. Now, many Jewish scholars believe that this scroll was actually the scroll of the book of, say it with me, Deuteronomy. Yes, Kyle. Yes. Thank me later on, bro. And so they roll out this scroll in front of them and they start to read the words. And the king, can you imagine him sitting and listening to this scroll being rolled out and being read before him, chapter 1 and 2 and 3. And then he comes to chapter 4 and it says this: therefore, watch yourselves very carefully, so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman, or like an animal on earth, or any bird that flies in the air. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon and the stars, all the heavenly array, Do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven. Wow. And he continued, and they continued to read the scroll, and then they landed here in chapter 5. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. And they read and they read and they read until they arrived at Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And reading on and on in the presence of the king, landing in chapter 16, where it reads, do not set up any wooden Asherah pole beside the altar you built to the Lord your God. And do not erect a sacred stone, for these the Lord your God hates. And the king heard the words of the scroll, and he recognized the actions of the people. And at once his heart was broken, and he tore his robe as a sign of regret and repentance. Josiah is grieved, and as such, he realizes it's necessary for him to determine the legitimacy of this scroll. And so he decides that he's going to send it to the prophet. What is a prophet, you ask? You should ask. Because there are a lot of people who have ideas about what prophets do and what they don't do, what they promise and what they don't, and how they act. But when we're talking about the prophets of old, the person I listen to the most to understand that role is a man, Abraham Joshua Heschel. And this is what he says about a prophet. He says, the prophet is a man. He said, man, you know, forgive him. Prophet is a man who fiercely trusts God. God has thrust a burden on his soul, and he is old and stunned at God's fierce greed. He says the prophet is both compassionate but not compromised, led by justice but not no inclemency. And the miseries of the world give the prophet no rest. The prophet speaks from the perspective of God, as perceived from the perspective of his own situation. And King Josiah decides to appeal to the prophet. Now, he's got a few choices, you know, because at the time of Josiah's reign, there were several prophets who were operating at that time. One very familiar to most of us, named Jeremiah. Right? Jeremiah was a contemporary of King Josiah, and King Josiah could have chosen to go to him in order to legitimize this scroll and to hear what thus has the Lord concerning. But Josiah was the one who prophesied about the calamity ahead of this reading and this day where Josiah is so perplexed, and his message was so severe and so strong. He said something like, thus says the Lord, I will send the sword, famine, and plague against you. I will make them like figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. This word from Jeremiah, the prophet, was a hard word to swallow. And so King Josiah decided, no, we're not going to send word to him. But we could also send word to Zephaniah, another contemporary prophet of the time. Oh, but Zephaniah's words weren't very different from those of Jeremiah, because these words are actually the word of the Lord. And so he prophesied this way. He said, thus says the Lord, I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, and the idols that cause the wicked to stumble. Tough. tough to swallow. Josiah could have chosen either one of them, but instead, he made a different choice. He made a choice based on gender bias, or so the scholars say. A choice made out of an assumption, a choice that he believed that the message on the scroll would be more digestible if it came through the lips of a woman. And so he chose to consult with the prophet Huldah. Say her name with me, after me, Huldah. Very good. You sound like you said it before. Her name, it means weasel. It means small. Maybe it was because of her height. Maybe it was some features on her face. You ever know somebody who looked like a weasel? Never mind that. I really don't know. I don't know why that was her name. But I know that the king thought that she would be more merciful and that her message would be more tolerable than her male counterpart. Now, do you want the truth or not, King Josiah? Have you ever wanted to hear the truth? Have you ever gone in pursuit of the truth? But when you have the opportunity to choose the best source or resource, you choose the one that will hurt you least. The one that will kind of let you off the hook just a little bit. The one that will break it to you softly, leaving the question, do you really want the truth? Does the king really want to hear what thus says the Lord? Because the package of the prophet does not alter the word of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yes. Does the king really want to hear the word of the Lord? And so today we listen to Huldah, not because she's a woman, not because she might be more tender or nurturing. Not all women are tender and nurturing. We don't listen to Huldah because her voice is easy on the ears. All women don't have soft, soothing voices, especially me today. There's no one characteristic of a woman. We do listen to Huldah. We do. We will listen to her today, but not because she's a woman, but for these three other reasons. First of all, Huldah is rooted. Huldah is gifted, and Huldah is impartial. Let's go back to the slide. Huldah is rooted. Now, the text tells us early on that Huldah lives in a particular quarter, a particular district, a particular section of Jerusalem, and that place is often called, translated, the study hall or the library. That's the section, that's the neighborhood that she lived in and dwelled in. And in the study hall, in the library section of town, this is where the oral Torah was taught and lived daily. So Huldah, she lives in a place that was the psalmist would sing about in the first psalm of them all. She lived in a place where people did not walk and step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the Torah of the Lord do they meditate day and night, and they shall be rooted. Huldah is rooted in her faith and in her experience of who God is because of where she lives, because of where she dwells and abides, to use Jesus' language. She lives in a place where the word of God is always on the lips of the people. The Torah is her second, perhaps her first language. It's not a reference to her. It is written on the tablets of her heart, and she breathes it. She sleeps it as much as she is rooted in the Lord. Listen to Huldah because she is rooted in the law of the Lord. Second, let's listen to Huldah because Huldah is gifted. Listen, anyone can learn to expound on scripture or deliver a compelling message into the masses. Anybody can be taught to temper their message with sugar and candy so as not to offend or disrupt or, God forbid, offer correction. King Josiah sent word to Huldah because he thought she was skilled and savvy with words in ways that other prophets were not. We don't listen to Huldah because of her skill, but because of her gift. Listen to Heschel again. He says, "For prophecy is a sham unless it is experienced as a word of God swooping down on man, humans, and converting them into a prophet." The prophet is a sham artist, he says, unless they have actually had an encounter, a gifted encounter with the word of God. Somebody should have told King Josiah that the prophet speaks the word of God in the way that God wishes for it to be relayed. God gives the gift of the word, and whether it's Jeremiah, Zephaniah, or Huldah, it's a gift from God and not a product of a learned skill around oration and delivery. Tell the man who sent you, says the Lord. The man who sent me, the messenger, must have thought. Don't you mean tell the king? Why would this woman be talking about the king in this matter? This is not this woman. This is God, who has no king above him. Huldah has been given gifts, the message for the people of Judah, for the king and the commoner. And she's not going to hold back. She's not choosing her words. She's not texturizing her presentation because the request comes from the king. Tell the man who sent you here, thus says the Lord. And this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to our gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. The prophet speaks the word of the Lord in the ear of the people. And in the voice, with the voice she is gifted with, Huldah speaks. And we listen to her also because she is impartial to the either or false dichotomy that often is presented in this way. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord that this is what the Lord says. The Lord God of Israel says concerning the words you heard, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I had spoken, because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have also heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you up with your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see the disaster I am going to bring on this place. Yes, she's impartial, able to deliver the hard, tough judgment of God on one hand, but also able to present the merciful, gracious, and loving kindness of God to a king who has humbled himself in the presence of that God. Two things can happen at one time when you're impartial. The prophet, my friends, is not rooted and gifted to respond to the emotional fragility of a people who have abandoned the God who always pursues them. No. The prophet is nothing if not clear that God can do two things at one time. That the false dichotomies again of either or are obliterated by God's both and. The prophet speaks a word of judgment and a word of mercy. Because you have repented, you will not see the desolation ahead, King. And so listen to her. We listen to her because she is rooted in Torah, gifted with the word of the Lord, and impartial to the false dichotomies that demand either or. Huldah, listen to her. And then, Mars Hill Bible Church, I invite you to not just listen, but to stand in your place as prophets, indeed Jesus' people for the sake of the world, ready to respond when this generation, when our community, when our children and our children's children want to know what to make of the good news in the world where bad news streams 24/7. when they want to know what to make of the condition of the bride of Christ, a victim of domestic violence, battered and bruised at the hands of her own partner. When they want to know what to do with this brown Palestinian Jew named Jesus who lived so long ago and whose words have been used to both start wars and end them, to bring together and to divide, to love and to hate. When they come to us, let them find us rooted. Waist deep in thus says the Lord. Chest deep in love of God and of neighbor. Because in the law we have been rooted and meditate day and night. Let them find us gifted, not just skilled, pouring out of the overflow of God's pouring into us because we have prayed for, we have sought for, and we have begged God for not the things of this world or the things that God has already promised, but we have begged for the greater gifts that make known who God is amongst us and amongst those who make assumptions about our voices, our calling, and our approach. Oh, don't you want to be found by this next generation impartial? Like Jesus, our Lord, who comes down from the wilderness full of the Spirit and opens the scroll and proclaims his rootedness and makes known his impartiality and the giftedness of the Spirit that allows him to go forth and live the fullness of the life of God and of man that has already been set out for him. May we be found rooted and gifted, impartial prophets. And if that sounds tiring, I got good news. There's fuel for the journey. There's refreshment for our souls. There's bread. There's wine. And there's the Spirit. So may the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give our thanks and praise. Holy and right, it is and a joyful duty to give thanks to you, O God. You have created heaven with all its host and the earth with all its plenty. And you have given us the fullness thereof in Jesus Christ, our beloved Lord, your Son, made flesh for us and for our salvation. Send your Spirit upon us now, we do pray, that the bread we break and the cup we bless would be to us the communion of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And as these grains have been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many vines into one cup, so soon and very soon, may your whole church be gathered together in you, even to the ends of the earth. Come, Lord Jesus, come. So I give to you that which I also receive, how the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, This is my body, broken for you. And after giving thanks, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. So as often as you do partake of this, you do proclaim my death until I come again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen, amen. And so the instructions are as follows in just a few moments. We will invite you to rise from your seat and you'll find that there are two servers here. You may feel free to come forward. They will break off a piece of bread and you will dip it in the cup and you may partake of it that time, or you may certainly return to your seat and partake of it when you desire. Or you may also approach one of several tables. All of our breads are allergen free. So you may simply partake of one piece of bread and one cup, or you may gather in a circle with others here worshiping with us and with you, and dip your bread in the same cup. If you should desire prayer, we have folks right here who are prepared to pray with you before you receive the element or after the elements. And we will continue to live out the fullness of this simple, winsome phrase that reminds us, say it with me, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. So Mars Hill Bible Church, come and receive who you are, the body of Christ, for all is now ready.